Turn to Luke chapter 14. Woo, we're moving through. I think we might be done in about another year. Well, not like we're trying to rush through it or anything, but Luke chapter 14 is where we're at as we continue our study in Luke. Yes? Yes.
And you said how she was bound up, and you brought the insight of the Pharisee being down.
Yeah.
It was really helpful for me because I was able to use that talking with the non-believers this past week about religion,
yeah,
and all that stuff. It was insightful. I just wanted to say thanks.
You bet. Thanks, Pete. And that's one of the awesome things about studying God's Word. It's an ancient book, but it's as relevant today as it was when we read the stories of Jesus actually doing these things and teaching. So anyway, why don't you stand with me? We're going to read Luke chapter 14. We're going to read the first 11 verses. That's what we're going to study today. And it's actually kind of a two-part message because it's all in the same context, but we're going to look at the first part today. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts of the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him away. And then he asked them, "If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." And then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Jesus, would you help us go back into the story today? Lord, we are separated on the other side of the world, thousands of years away, in a completely different culture. But God, help us as we read the words of this story not to be removed, but to be in the middle of it. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, we pray. In your holy name, amen. You can be seated. Now, you might notice if you're a note taker, there are notes on the back of the program. I entitled today's message, "Chutes and Ladders." Because we see in this story chutes, and we see ladders. Now, one of the interesting things about Jesus is he was invited into all kinds of situations and circumstances. I mean, there was all kinds of people that wanted time. They wanted a piece of Jesus, so to speak. They wanted time to sit down and try to figure him out. And today we see Jesus almost in a similar context as us. He got invited out to lunch after church on Sunday, except it was a little bit different. Jewish culture, they worship on Saturday. It was the Sabbath. But after the worship gathering, he was invited. And I want you to notice what it says. We don't get a name, but we get a very clear description. He was invited to a prominent Pharisee's house. Now, as we see this invitation to a prominent Pharisee's house, we get a good picture of the context of our story. Now, before we jump into the story, let's take pause there. Whose house do you want to be invited to? You see, getting this invite to a prominent Pharisee's house was not an everyday, ordinary type of invite. Not very many people got invited to this man's house. He was the prominent Pharisee. He was the place, the guy you wanted to get an invite to. And it's interesting because it reminds us back last week to our story. You remember where Jesus told the parable of wanting to get into a house and you're knocking, trying to get in? One of the realities is socially we are all wired where we want in to a certain group. A certain acceptance by a certain body of people is important. It's something we all feel. We all understand the story of wanting in. We all understand the desire to want to get the invitation to the prominent Pharisee's house. The interesting thing is we see Jesus gets this invite. So that's the context. The prominent Pharisee is having a dinner party, and Jesus is invited. So the question is, how is Jesus going to deal with being on the in crowd? We've seen him heal the sick. We've seen him accept those who nobody likes, nobody wants. Now, we see him in a very different social setting. He's in the in crowd. He's on the inside. He's at the exclusive dinner banquet of the prominent Pharisee. How's he going to respond? Well, Jesus recognizes it for what it is quickly. He was set up. He was set up, and that's the case oftentimes. When you get an invitation to an exclusive type of club, there is often an initiation, isn't there? If you're going to be a part, if you're going to fit in, if you're going to be part of the in crowd, you're going to have to do certain things, and that's the initiation process. So what is it? Well, in this exclusive dinner party, there was somebody that didn't fit. Somebody that obviously didn't belong. There's this man with dropsy. And if you study dropsy, what it is it's a disease in the flesh where you become severely bloated and swelling of the flesh. I mean, it's obvious when somebody has dropsy. You can't hide it. And it can be on any and every and all parts of the body. And it is disforming, repulsive, and gross. People see it and they don't go, oh wow, that, let me go touch him and talk to him. You feel like, man, I don't want to get whatever that person has. So Jesus is set up. What is he going to do? He was invited to be part of the in crowd, and specifically the in religious, spiritually prominent Pharisee crowd. It's like getting the invite to the exclusive spiritual club. It's like getting not just a pastor, but the group of pastors inviting you to come. And Jesus has an opportunity. I mean, the ordinary, everyday crowd, it's not there. I mean, remember, it was just maybe a week ago, maybe a little bit longer, but just a chapter ago, we see on another Sabbath day, Jesus heals. And what happens? The religious leader goes, there's 6 days to do work. Come and get healed on those. We see Jesus has a reputation of healing on the Sabbath. Is he going to let this one go? Is he going to do what fits in building bridges with this religiously, spiritually elite group? Or is he going to do what he normally does? There's a tension here. It's building. And it's interesting because if we could put ourselves in the situation, you know exactly what it's like. Jesus walks in the door, there's the greeting, comes into the main room, and all of a sudden everything's quiet. Because here's the guy with dropsy, and everybody's watching. Okay, Jesus, here you are. Are you going to ignore it? Are you going to pretend like the elephant in the room isn't here? We know what that's like. How many times have you been in those socially awkward moments and you just ignore it? You don't want to create a stir, a scene, so you pretend like it's not there. Why do you do that? Well, that's the socially acceptable thing. You don't want to rock the boat. And so in this tension, and you can just imagine the room, it gets silent. People have been talking about the weather, talking about the NFC Championship game that's going to take place in just a little while. They're talking about all those things, and all of a sudden Jesus comes in the room. Okay, what's going to happen? And Jesus interrupts the silence with a question. And more importantly than a question, it is the question. Look at it. It's right in our text. It's right there in verse 3. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? That is the question. That's why the Pharisees are there. That's why the Pharisees invited the man with dropsy there. That is why Jesus is there. Is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Plain and simple. Well, there's silence. The Pharisees choose not to respond. And you can speculate as to why. I mean, they knew where Jesus stood. Jesus said, yes, it's okay to heal on the Sabbath. They were pretty resolute in their position. No, it is not okay to heal on the Sabbath. Why debate it? Why argue it? They've been there. They've done that. Have you ever been in those situations? Why even talk about the question? Well, we already know where we stand. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Nobody says a word. What does Jesus do? Goes to the man. Touches him. Okay, he touches him. Nobody had touched him for a long, long time. He touches him. He heals him. He says, go ahead. Have a good day. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment in this story that you're the man with dropsy. You've been rejected. You're an outcast. You didn't fit. And all of a sudden, you got the invitation to go to the prominent Pharisee's house. I mean, talk about the break. I mean, in respects, you know, American Idol's like a big thing, or it's kind of dying down, I guess, a little bit. But, you know, they get to go to California. Imagine getting like the yellow ticket just so that they could mock you every week. In a sense, he's completely set up, but he doesn't know it. I mean, he washes. He does his best to kind of get the swelling down. He puts on his best clothes to try to hide his condition. He's excited. He gets to go to the prominent Pharisee's house. He gets there and he realizes, uh-oh. Now, let's be honest. His story is a lot like how a person that normally doesn't go to church feels when they come to church. Gotta get clean. Gotta wear the right clothes. Oh, man. And then they show up, and they're like, dude, I don't know if I fit here. People aren't talking to me. I'm alone. I'm on the other side of the room, and I don't belong. I don't fit. You see, this man with dropsy was aware he did not fit. He did not measure up. He was not of the religious, spiritually elite. He was corrupted. Physically, spiritually, socially, he was on the bottom of the totem pole. And the question is about, is it okay to heal on the Sabbath? Are you kidding me? If you're the man with dropsy, that's not the question at all. The question is, does anybody care? Does anybody have the ability to help? Does anybody love and care? And can anybody do anything about it? It's a completely different question for the man with dropsy. And you know what? Jesus understood the tension of the social setting, but he just says, you know what? Enough of that. And he comes over. And I don't want you to miss how significant it is that Jesus touches him. Because it's a Sabbath day. You don't want to get corrupted with disease. Yet Jesus is not fearful. He's not worried of what people are going to think or what religious rules he's breaking. He cares about this man. And then he cares enough after he heals him. And think about the miracle of being healed. I mean, imagine deformed, swelled flesh being restored. and returning to its normal shape and condition. Maybe on an arm, maybe on a neck. We don't know where this swelling took place. But Jesus miraculously heals him, and then he has the social love to say, you know what? You don't have to be here anymore. You don't have to be in this place where you're judged and condemned. You can go. And what's going on? Well, we see it right in the text. It's right there in verse 1. The Pharisees are watching carefully. Why? It leads us to a good question. Why do I watch Jesus? Do I watch Jesus because I have stuff I want? So it's like, okay, where is he? Oh, hey, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. Or am I so busy I actually don't really notice Jesus anymore? I don't see his presence all around me all the time. Or do I watch Jesus like the Pharisees watch Jesus? Let's see if you get this one right. Let's see if you have the right theology, the right doctrine, the right beliefs. Or do we watch Jesus like this man with dropsy who is healed watches Jesus? Think of the eyes of wonder, the adoration, the worship. It's like, are you kidding me? You actually love me? And you love me enough that you would cut through all of the tension, all the religiosity, and you would touch me, you would look me in the eyes, and you have not only the love, not only the empathy, but the power to lift me up out of my broken, diseased position and set me free. I want to watch Jesus in that kind of way. I don't want to watch like the Pharisees did. And so we see in this situation that Jesus steps over the shoot of arrogance, because that's the shoot that the Pharisees had set him up for. To just fit in, just ignore, and go with the flow of the religious motion. And Jesus steps over that shoot and says, no, I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm not going to play your religious games. I'm going to love. And into it, he asks a question. And this is where we see the ladder form. And it's a question parable. Why don't you look at it? It's right there in verse 5. He says this, if one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? Well, let's help ourselves a little bit here. Let's make this question a little bit more culturally, like, understandable to us. You have a brand new vehicle. I mean, one that you have saved, you've borrowed, you cherish, and your teenage son borrows it. And you're like, oh man, and they're driving it, and they hit a patch of ice, and what happens? They go into the ditch. It happens, right? We live in Montana. What do you do? How about you help them get out of the ditch, right? You'll go, oh, that's stupid of you. So, you know, oh well, I guess that's just going to be stuck. You figure it out. No! I mean, that's like a no-brainer. You help them. Why? Well, if you don't love your son, at least you love your car, right? No, it's natural. That's such an obvious one, of course. Why? Because each of us, each person, even in our sinful, broken state, we still have the fingerprints of God all over us. We have the image of God in us. And when people that we love are stuck, what do? We lift them. We help them. We love them. It's so natural. Jesus is recognizing in these religious Pharisees, hey, you have the images of God all over you. You help people you love in need, don't you? And they're like, well, yeah, of course, obvious. And you know what Jesus is teaching us in this? You know what we as Christians are really good at? We're really good at pointing out sin. We do that really well. In fact, that's what we're known for. We always are pointing out people's sins, especially other people's sins. Not so much ours, but other people's sins. Do you know what Jesus wants us also to do? He wants us to point out the fingerprints of God that are all over everybody. So when that person at work loves their child and you see it, and you can say, well, that's just the natural nature of a mom or a father to love their child. Instead of just saying that's normal, recognize it for what it is. It's the fingerprints of God. And say, man, you know what? When you sacrifice for your daughter like that, it reminded me of God's love for us. That was awesome. How many people apart from Christ hear that said about their lives? Or when somebody at work gives, I mean, they work hard and they're diligent. How about we recognize and say, man, when you just gave everything you had, when you poured out your life, it reminded me of how Jesus poured out his life for us. That was really inspiring to me. You see, we do need to be honest in recognizing sin. But just as Jesus recognized the fingerprints of God on his greatest critics, the ones he conflicted with the most, the Pharisees, we need to recognize the fingerprints of God on those all around us. Regardless of what their doctrine, theology, or spirituality is, we need to see the image of God and recognize it all the time. Because that's part of the ladder. It's part of how God is telling us and showing us the story. But Jesus goes on and he tells another story. He tells a story about going to a wedding banquet and where you should sit. Right? Now, this is an interesting story for Jesus to tell. And some people would read this parable and go, well, Jesus is giving me some good advice about being humble in social settings because I don't want to be presumptuous in social settings. Is that good social advice? Yes, it's good social advice. Don't be presumptuous. Don't try to make a spectacle and puff yourself up in social settings. That's good social advice. It's better to be humble than arrogant. And for some of us, we're still learning that. I know I had to learn that a lot, especially when I was in high school. I had a lot of people trying to teach me that one. It took me a little longer to get. But is that all Jesus is saying? Is he just giving us good social advice? No. It goes beyond that. I want you to specifically hone in on verse 11 with me right now. He says this, and he summarizes the parable with these words. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, Jesus is recognizing that though we all have the fingerprints of God, and he shows the good side in the first story, he also is recognizing in the second story, we all have that fallen, broken, distorted, sinful nature. And we exhibit that on a regular basis too, don't we? We want to be on the top seat. We want to be on the top rung of the social ladder. Isn't it funny that we even used that metaphor? The corporate ladder, the social ladder. We want to get to the top. And how do we get to the top? Well, I've got to position myself above you, and above you, and above you. And however I need to do it, I'm going to do it. That's part of how the story goes in our fallen, broken world. I don't know about you, but I've been walked on by people. I've been stepped on by people. And if I'm going to be honest, I've worked to climb the social ladder, the corporate ladder. I've stepped on people. I've walked on people. I've treated people as objects to get me where I want to go. Why? Because as much as I have the image of God, I also have a broken, sinful nature. And I live in the world where phrases like dog eat dog is a reality, and I too participate in it. And Jesus is recognizing that in our human nature as well. And into that, He says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. He's saying there's a different way in the kingdom of God. There's a different way in the kingdom of God. He exhibited, he lived out this way in the way he treated the man with dropsy. And you see, Christ's followers for centuries, for millennia, have been following in that way. That's why we have a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. That's why we would take time and say, you know what? All people, all lives are valuable. Because Jesus showed us the way that instead of climbing on top of people as objects, we are to follow the way of Jesus and humble ourselves and become the rung in the ladder. To become the step stool that people could climb up. So that people could be elevated above ourselves. You see, Jesus recognized that you and I, as much as we might climb on other people spiritually, socially, to get to the top, we will never make it. We can't get that high. It doesn't matter how good you are at climbing up other people, you can't obtain where God created you to be. There is only one way. Jesus became the ladder. Jesus said, the way of Christ, the way of my kingdom is to lower yourself, to yield yourself, to humble yourself, to be the rung, to be the step stool, to be walked upon. And Jesus Himself, and only He had the capability to lift us, to elevate us, to transcend us into a place of forgiveness and restoration. And just as He restored the brokenness, just as He restored the illness, the disease that was in the man of dropsy, He alone has the ability to socially, spiritually, physically, in every facet of who we are, lift us up, redeem us, restore us, resurrect us. It's not just physically, it's not just socially, it's not just spiritually, it's not in any just category that we like to label. Jesus came as a ladder for all people, for all areas. Jesus came for a ladder in my life and yours. And He's teaching us the way. It's interesting, I read of this story years ago, and it's a story that stuck with me. It's a story of two brothers who went and were playing along the riverbanks at springtime. And I never had a brother, but I know what it is to be a guy playing with other guys. And guys are kind of crazy and wild and do kind of stupid things. And these brothers, well, they were being brothers. And a storm came, and it was just like a monsoon, lots of rain, and it fell hard, and flash flooding started to take place. And the river banks where they were playing, there was sand, and it shifted with the torrents of the water. And it got ugly fast. The parents, realizing that the boys were playing on the riverbanks and realizing the flash flooding, rushed to find the boys. And when they arrived, they saw the younger son buried in sand up to his chest. And they desperately went to him and they were helping him get out. And they're, where is your brother? Where is your brother? They're desperately trying to find the brother. In tears pouring through his eyes, he said, I'm standing on his shoulders. You see, the story of Jesus being a ladder is the story of a brother that's a friend that's closer than a brother, who says, get on my shoulders. Because you cannot make it on your own. It doesn't matter how many people you objectify. It doesn't matter how good you follow the religious rules. You cannot climb out. But you can make it on my shoulders. And as we read this story, as we look at our lives, could we be people who fully trust on Jesus' shoulders? Instead of falling into all the traps and the ways of the fallen nature that step and objectify people, can we accept the love of Jesus and climb on His shoulders so that we can fully live? And can we be people that follow the way of Jesus and get on our knees and say, yeah, climb on. Let me support you. Let me help you. I'm here for you. I'm your friend that's closer than a brother as well. That's the way of Jesus. The way of being a ladder. Would you pray with me?